السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International. It is the program with Sheikh Sajid Omar every Friday afternoon between 2 and 3 p.m. Southern African time. We have Sheikh Sajid with us on the line all the way from the kingdom. Sheikh Sajid, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا. بارك الله فيك.
How are you today, Sheikh Sajid?
Allahumma lak alhamd, with the blessings of Allah, I am well, and how are you keeping?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Sheikh Sajid, last week, unfortunately, due to some technical issues we had here at the station, we couldn't, of course, record the program. But the week before that, alhamdulillah, we concluded our discussion on dreams. But then, in that weekend, then you went out to Dubai for a summit, and perhaps you can just share with the listeners briefly about that summit.
Yes, I actually, Barakallahu Fik, I traveled to Dubai for the new Muslim summit that happened there, run by an organization known as Kalima, and they specialize in terms of dawah efforts to non-Muslims, and then when they convert, then they teach them Islam in their language, So, you know, Chinese, the Filipino language, and then languages of the Indian subcontinent as well, because there's people from obviously that region working in Dubai. So there's a massive effort, alhamdulillah. So this summit is something that, alhamdulillah, we, you know, they've been inviting me for a few years to run weekend courses there, and over the years we discussed the importance of putting together a program that can showcase their work firstly, and secondly be a platform of bringing in a different scope of people. New Muslims, of course, and they started this a year ago, and this was the second New Muslim Summit that I was fortunate to attend. It was good, alhamdulillah. 75% of the attendees were new Muslim, and 25% were made up of born Muslims and non-Muslims, right? So that was good, and one of the most amazing sessions that we had there was a four-hour marathon Q&A. For the non-Muslims, right? So there's about 200 people in a room, and when I say marathon session, meaning it was the sessions were shared between the speakers. So I would run a session for 45 minutes and leave to the main hall to do a program. Someone else would take my spot. Then when I would be done, I'd come back. That kind of thing. And for 4 hours, you know, I would say 200 plus, they were sat and asking their questions and paying attention. There were non-Muslims from Russia, from South America, from Africa, from China, from, you know, Australasia, different parts of the globe, really. And, you know, it really made us as speakers and lecturers think, because obviously, you know, the scope of questioning was broad. And it also gave us an opportunity to clear the myth, to lift the fog off a lot of the issues that non-Muslims, you know, have with Islam. And since we're talking about it, you know, one of the things I really learned in that session was, you know, today we always have this discussion, da'wah to Muslims or da'wah to non-Muslims. There's a lot of da'wah to Muslims. But, you know, now it's given me a new perspective that giving da'wah to Muslims is actually a way of giving da'wah to non-Muslims. Because I can tell you at least 40%, if not more, of the questions that came about in those 4 hours was related to the understanding that they had about Islam because of what Muslims do. Subhanallah. It's because of Muslim behavior, right? That they've not bothered looking at Islam or always seen Islam as an issue. It's not about, you know, the recent past with, in terms of the media and Islamophobia. No, it was literally people saying we live in a community, my neighbor's a Muslim, or the community has a lot of Muslims, or the Muslims in school, or the Muslims in business, this is what they do, right? And this is what has put people off Islam. And, you know, this was a great, you know, it's something we've been thinking about, but this was a great first-hand experience. And to every Muslim listening here, again, I'm going to reiterate that people see before they hear, and the speed of light is faster than the speed of sound, you know, and they see you. They see you as a Muslim. And unfortunately, they're not going to separate between what is in the Quran and the Sunnah and the Muslim that they see in front of them. That's just how people are. You know, we live in an age of opinion. We live in an age of ignorance. Some ignorance. No doubt there's a lot of ilm, but some ignorance. Like, this is it's a matter of ignorance whereby a person can judge Islam on based on what they see Muslims doing when they wouldn't judge, you know, their families based on what a person in the family does. But that's ignorance, right? So the Muslims really need to step up. They need to step up. They need to become exemplary human beings. They need to step up because people see the Muslims and they develop their desire to read more about Islam or the desire to run away from Islam from that. And subhanAllah, you know, I thought in that session that without us even knowing, we're actually chasing a people from the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which really brings that highlight or focal point into the zone, which is we are ambassadors of Islam. That's the reality. Whether we like it or not, we are ambassadors of Islam. When you carry that Muslim name, you're an ambassador of Islam. When you say the Shahada, you're an ambassador of Islam. So, you know, the summit, it was a great success, even the new Muslims there. You know, I had the keynote speech to this particular conference. The keynote speech is a themeless or a titleless lecture, but it's meant to set the precedent for the conference. And the theme of the conference was towards unshakable faith, right? So I obviously understood it as, you know, creating a circumstance where new Muslims can no more, you know, call themselves new Muslims, whereby the iman develops and they learn enough about Islam and start practicing Islam until they don't need to consider themselves new Muslims. So in my keynote speech, I actually put together 5 points towards the greater Muslim community and 5 points towards the new Muslims that together, if followed, we can create a system in which you know, new Muslims transition into the greater Muslim community and they don't have to be called new Muslims even after 10 years of accepting Islam. This is important. And I think we as an ummah have greatly neglected new Muslims. And this is a problem. Because the Sahaba were new Muslims, right? I mean, they were new Muslims as well. Right? So we as an ummah have neglected new Muslims. We really don't have efforts towards them. And it's our relationship with the new Muslim has really become the shahada, the takbir. You know, when they announce the shahada, everyone is takbir, Allahu Akbar, everyone's jumping up and down. We have a shahada in front of us. It's like, yani, it becomes like, you know, something you have to do. But the reality is, no, it doesn't end there. The relationship with the new Muslim doesn't end with that takbir and a few hugs at the masjid when they announce the shahada, for example. No. The reality is we need to start thinking, okay, it's Eid day today. That new Muslim that I witnessed becoming a Muslim, I need to invite them to my house for Eid, right? Or I'm having a dinner, a family dinner. Let me bring a new Muslim in, right? Because a lot of the time we don't realize that, you know, these new Muslims, they get ostracized by their communities. They get kicked out of their homes. They get, the communities disown them. They are disowned by the community. This is what happens in a lot of cases. So they enter, they lose their job, some of them, depending on which country you come from. And this is true. I'm not going to mention anything here live on air, any names of any countries, but this is a fact. Now, I've been working with new Muslims proactively since 2013 because we opened the New Muslim Academy, which is a state-of-the-art online program dedicated towards new Muslims, a borderless program. You just need an internet connection. And we started in English in 2013, and now we are in the Filipino language. This is the second language, and we're looking to go into 10 other languages. So you can visit it, newmuslimacademy.org. Whoever becomes whoever accepts Islam, just give them the website. We'll take care of them. Alhamdulillah, Allah's blessed us in that, you know, some donors looked at the program and they really liked it, and now the program is totally free, right? So the new Muslim just comes on, and they're looked after by a donor. And we need this, you know, we cannot teach them at that peril. And working with new Muslims from the outset taught me that, you know what, they need more than just education. It's not just about teaching about salah and all this kind of stuff, even though this is very important. But the reality is they need companionship. They need a community. And if Allah made us a community, you know, gave us the bond of Islam and made it stronger than the bond of blood, then how is it that they become new Muslims and we neglect them? They don't have a community. Their own communities disown them, and the community that has the most right to own them disowns them as well, meaning doesn't take them in. So, ala kulli hal, it's a long discussion, but since you asked, I just wanted to share some points perhaps it will be a reminder for those who know and a lesson for those who don't. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Just hit that website again for the new Muslims.
Newmuslimacademy.org.
And
newmuslimacademy.org.
You know, just from the fact it shows that there are a lot of people that are actually thirsty out there. We just need to go there and give them that water to drink, meaning that knowledge that they require and they need all the time in terms of accepting Islam, wanting to become Muslims, or those that are Muslims wanting to know more about the deen.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, if I listed for you some of the things that people were saying about Islam or what they think Muslims do in the masjid, you'd be shocked, honestly. You know, some thought we worship Muhammad. Some thought, you know, we worship the devil. Some thought we worship the sun. They have been lied to by their own priests, right? And then they look at Muslims as well, and then they just see bad behavior. They see Muslims engaging in black magic. May Allah protect. You know, this is a fact in some places. There's Muslims who are doing this kind of stuff. And Muslims checks bouncing, Muslims being the most, dishonest businessmen and businesswomen. May Allah protect. This is obviously, inshallah, not the general case, but these are circumstances that people have run away from Islam based on. Which means, subhanAllah, you know, there's a responsibility on our shoulders which we haven't even realized. You know, we're going to get to Allah on the day of Qiyam and we're going to be asked about stuff, may Allah protect us, that we haven't even realized that we're doing. Subhanallah. You know, I'm pretty sure a lot of us go to sleep at night and don't think that we have actually, we've chased someone away from Islam or sent someone further away from Islam. It doesn't cross our minds. And sadly, we haven't become a people that, you know, ponder. We go to sleep at night, we don't think of our day. That's the reality. We don't think of our actions. We only understand consequence when things are done to us. But we don't understand consequence when we don't feel the pressure of our own actions. And may Allah forgive us and guide us. I mean.
Shahzad, moving on to our topic for today, chapter 131, that is Kitab al-Salam, Fadl al-Salam, wal Amr bi Afsha'ihi, that is the excellence of giving salam, making salam, and to spread that salam as well.
Yes, walillahi alhamd, chapter 131, the book of greetings. So there's going to be a few chapters related to greetings, because this is Kitab al-Salam, the book of the greetings. And as Imam al-Nawawi does, if he has a lot of points to discuss, and under those points there's other points, then he gathers those initial points and he places them under a book. So this is the book of greetings. And underneath the book of greetings, there's many chapters related to the salam, or a few chapters related to the salam. And inshallah, we'll do this over this particular episode and the upcoming ones. So let's kick off, inshallah, and then we'll dive into some of the explanations.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قال الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تدخلوا بيوتا غير بيوتكم حتى تستأنسوا وتسلموا على أهلها. The first verse, O you who believe, enter not houses other than your own until you have asked permission and saluted those in them. فإذا دخلتم بيوتا فسلموا على أنفسكم تحية من عند الله مباركة طيبة. When you enter houses, greet each other a greeting of blessing and purity as from Allah. وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا. When a courteous greeting is offered to you, meet it with a greeting still more courteous, at least, or equal in it. قال الله تبارك وتعالى هل أتاك حديث الضيف إبراهيم المكرمين إذ دخلوا عليه فقالوا سلاما قال سلام قوم منكرون. Has the story reached you of the honored guest of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? Behold, they entered his presence and said, peace. He said, and peace to you as well. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لما خلق الله آدم صلى الله عليه وسلم قال اذهب فسلم على أولئك نفر من الملائكة جلوس فاستمع ما يحيونك فإنها تحيتك وتحية ذريتك فقال السلام عليكم فقالوا السلام عليك ورحمة الله فزادوه ورحمة الله متفق عليه. It is narrated in the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that he heard the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, when Allah created Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, he said to him, go and salute to that company of angels who were seated there. And then listen to what they say in reply to your greeting, because that will be the salutation of you and your offspring. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam said to the angels, peace be upon you. And they responded with, peace and the mercy of Allah be upon you. So they added in reply to him, the mercy of Allah to his greeting or to his salutation.
That's fine. Jazakallahu khairan. Is the next hadith that Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-As that you're about to read?
No, Umar al-Barrah bin Azib radiyallahu anhu.
Okay, so we'll stop there, inshallah. طيب, bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. So my dear brothers and sisters, this is the book of salam and the etiquette pertaining to the Islamic greeting. Now, again, this should highlight that all important aspect we've been, you know, speaking about time and time again, and that is how complete Islam is, that we have so much teachings related to just the salam. And the salam is something we consider a small matter today. But inshallah, as we traverse through this particular topic, we will see, walillahi alhamd, what a big matter it is. What a big matter it is. Now, when the author says Kitab al-Salam, he's referring to the greeting that this Sharia recognizes, and the greeting from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his ummah. The salam, we call it a greeting, but it actually means dua, right? Because when you say assalamu alaykum, you are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect this person that you are greeting from all harm, both in this life and the next. Okay, this is what you're doing. Okay, so you're asking Allah to protect this person from all harm, both in this life and the next. Starting with your harm. That is why also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a Muslim is a one who the other Muslims are safe from his tongue and his hand. Right? Subhanallah, today how many Muslims are safe from our tongue and our hand? Allah protect us. Right? So when you make this salam, al-muslimu man salim al, that's the hadith that I said earlier. The Muslim is the one who, al-muslimu man salima. This word salim is also from as-salam. The Muslim is the one who the other Muslims are safe from his tongue and his hand. So when you say assalamu alaikum, you are telling this person that, oh my dear brother, oh my dear sister, may Allah protect you from all harm, both in this world and the next, and you are safe from my harm, the harm of my tongue and the harm of my hand, right, of my actions. Hand means actions, and obviously the tongue means speech. This is what we say. You know, today, subhanallah, we greet a person with the salam, and maybe even the full salam, to his or her face, and then when they're not there, we backbite about them. We greet them to their face, but we're jealous about them. We don't really want good for them. We want Allah to take away the blessings that they have. So this is hypocrisy. This is hypocrisy. And that's why I'm saying today we're going to learn how big the salam is and how important the salam is. Right? Because as you will see in the upcoming hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, spread the salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, can I not point to you something, or can I not teach you about an act that will create unity amongst you and cause love to grow between you? So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in said, yes. He said, spread the salam. Why was he saying spread the salam? Because this is the reality of the salam. That if you make this salam to somebody else, and you have this acute consciousness of exactly what you're saying, it's not just like saying hello. You know, today, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, salam. We just throw the salam. But no, have an understanding of what you're saying, then this, inshallah, will make you, you know, a better person, and will make you a person who other people are safe from, and as a result, love, prosperity, unity will grow in the society. This is a reality. Today, in an Islamic organization, on a masjid board, you have the members making salam to each other, but they hate each other. There's jealousy, subhanallah, that's there. This is a hypocritical salam. We're not calling anyone hypocrites, but we're saying that this kind, from a linguistic perspective, this is a hypocrisy. This is hypocrisy. And we're not saying you should stop the salam, but we're saying fix yourself. Fix yourself. If you are making the salam, fix yourself. There is no problem bigger than us. We can, if we really want to as Muslims, there's no problem that we can't fix. We have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with us. Right? But you have to want to. The desire has to be there. And the reality is, when people are jealous of each other, or they hate each other, or, you know, they have issues with each other, they really, one or both parties really don't want to sort out the problem. That's the reality. That's the reality. They want to be tools to shaitan. So this salam is a means of chasing shaitan away, so that shaitan doesn't use you as a tool. But you got to be sincere with it. You got to know what you're saying, why you're saying it, and you got to mean it. You got to speak what you mean, and you got to mean what you speak. Let's ponder over this particular point as we go into the break. Inshallah, when we come back, we will continue. Jazakumullahu khair.
Amen, inshallah.
What we did in Iran have resulted in the blowback of 9/11.
Now we're in a maniacal, messianic, testosterone-driven global war to make the world safe,
especially civilian victims of U.S. military action.
More oil.
Radio Islam. Indonesia
Muslim Association, your partner in fulfilling your responsibility of granting your child the greatest gift of basic teeny education. We urge you not to compromise on this need of your child, which will be Thawab-e Jariya for you. The Indonesia Muslim Association invites you to earn Thawab-e Jariya by educating a learner at only 250 rand per month or part thereof. A few rands in the LMA 10 will keep the wheels turning of serving Madrasa and Masjid.
Radio Islam International will be embarking on a project to upgrade our studios so that we can provide you, our loyal listeners, with an even higher quality of sound and professional programming. In order to embark on this costly upgrading project, we request you, our listeners, to contribute any amount to account number FNB 552-800-98862, branch code 250737, or contact Radio Islam offices on 011-854-7022.
Also, Yidi's Islamic Center is refurbishing at Wailers Farm Masjid and Madrasa. Kindly assist in this project to uplift this community. Donations can be made to Also, Yidi's Islamic Center. Standard Bank. Branch code 015-137. Account number 202-572870. Or visit us at Trade Route Mall, number L31, next to CLC, or at our head office, 31 Protea Avenue. Please note we also accept Zakah, Sadaqah, Lila, and all other donations. We're also registered for Section 18A. For more info, please call 011-854-9510.
Sedgers, situated in Vereeniging, your one-stop family shop. Get up to 35% off youthful, casual, and kiddies branded clothing for the lovers of functional art. Try our Carol Boys range. Look in our exquisite furniture and linen department. Tasteful furniture, decor, and advice to matching linen and curtains. Treat yourself to the beauty of designer jewelry, watches, sunglasses, and formal wear to suit your taste. Sedgers, your original family store, where personal service is guaranteed.
Sunbeam Steel, suppliers of all steel products. For carports, gates, burglar-proofing, fencing, reinforcing steel mesh, and all your structural steel. We also stock roof sheeting in galvanized polycarbonate and fiberglass. For that fantastic rail deal, contact Sunbeam Steel. Situated at Main Clip River Road, Akenhof. Call us on 011-948-6011 or 6013 or 011-948-7905.
You don't have to go to India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spices. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Dana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Indonesia. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid. You don't have to go to India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spices. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Dana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Indonesia. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
Madrasa Solihat invites all ladies to its open day and market day, Saturday the 21st of November 2015. Venue, 30 Bird Street, Mayfair. Time, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. inshallah. Come and discover what Madrasa Solihat has to offer. Meet our dedicated staff, a variety of stalls, kids entertainment. For inquiries and stall bookings for ladies only, contact 079-495-2106, 011-837-6559.
At Pick and Pay, you'll save this week on Coca-Cola regular, 2 litre by 2 for $25.90. Cool baked beans in tomato sauce, 410 grams by 4 for R28. Parmalat, low-fat, smooth or Yum Chums yogurt assorted, 6 by 100 grams by any 2 for $19.50. P&P long life milk assorted per pack, 6 by 1 litre, $49.90. Speco, long grain parboiled rice, 2 kg, $15.80. With Brand Match now checking 2,000 branded grocery items, your trolley will cost less with us. But never more. It's called Brand Match. Only at Pick and Pay. T's and C's apply. Prices valid 19 November to 22 November 2015.
The Muslim Ummah is experiencing great stress and disbelief at the number of our brothers and sisters that have become drug dependent. Very few families have escaped the revolt and effects of this disease that has been unleashed on us. They need our help before the damage gets too great for us to mend. Please help them recover from the scourge. Support this initiative and other Crescent of Hope projects. Contact our office for more information on 011-852-7370 or log on to www.crescentofhope.co.za. Your contribution can make a difference. Crescent of Hope, serving humanity for the pleasure of Allah.
When you're after a trusted brand like Toyota, you want the same kind of expertise and reliability you'd expect from one of their top dealerships. Before buying your next Toyota, come in and speak to the professionals at Freeway Toyota. Whether it's a Corolla, Yaris, Auris, or Hilux you're looking for, don't sign up until you've spoken to one of our highly qualified team of sales professionals. We will not only match but beat any written quote. Give us a call or come in for a test drive. 011-661-0000.
Hubby, please put the radio louder. I want to hear what ingredients are there in the recipe.
On how to marinate and set your biryani.
This sound is irritating me. I can't handle it. I can't even hear the news clearly.
Oh, this is why Radio Islam wants to upgrade their studios and provide us with crystal clear, high-definition programming.
It surely is a costly project, and I want to contribute an amount to help them embark on this project, which will be for our benefit and thawab ajariya.
Okay, hubby. Please contribute your amount as soon as possible so that our reward can start early.
When? Should I contribute the amount?
Account number FNB 552809-8862. Branch code 250737.
Or contact Radio Islam office on 011-854-7022.
Welcome back to Radio Islam International. The program with Sheikh Sajid Umar every Friday afternoon on Radio Islam International, Southern African time between 2 and 3 p.m. Sheikh Sajid discussing chapter 131, Kitabu Salam, that is the book on salam, salutations, greeting one another. We have Sheikh Sajid back with us on the line. Sheikh Sajid, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. My dear brothers and sisters, welcome back. Just before the break, we were discussing the meaning of the salam and the meaning of the greeting. And for those who just joined, we were saying that the salam is about telling the person you're greeting that he or she is safe from your tongue and your heart and your actions. Right? Which means you're telling the person, I'm not going to hate you, I'm not going to be jealous of you, you are safe from my evil, you are safe from my, from my tongue, from bad speech, from backbiting, from gossiping, from being vulgar, you are safe from my actions. That's what we are saying when we make the salah. And I was just highlighting how today we stand in front of each other and we greet each other with a smile and we say the salam with so much emphasis, but the heart really hates the person that we're greeting and or is jealous of the person that we're greeting. And we need to fix this, my dear brothers and sisters. We need to fix this. That's the reality. We have a lot of things we've got to fix, right? We've got to fix ourselves. We've got to get onto the sunnah as much as we can. We've got to look after the do's and the don'ts of the sharia. If we want honor to come back to us, then we need to tread the path of those who Allah blessed with honor. And that was the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een and those who walked in their footsteps. If you want to walk in their footsteps, then start walking in their footsteps. Don't pick and choose. Don't preach what suits you and leave what doesn't suit you. This is unacceptable, this is incorrect, and this is also a form of hypocrisy, right? Because this is the way of those before us that went astray. What suited them, they preached. What didn't suit them, they tried to change, and they became insincere. So we need to fix ourselves, and we're all part of the solution, and we all have to play a part in terms of this ummah receiving back its honor. In terms of this ummah receiving back its honor. Because the reality is, this was an ummah of honor. It was an ummah of leadership. And it led. But then, when this ummah became a victim of time and became sinful, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed another group of people to lead and set the way, and that's what they're doing. It's not the Muslims who are creating the biggest inventions today. It's not the Muslims who are putting people on other, putting machines on other planets and putting people in space. No, it's not us who's doing it. But it should have been us who's doing it. But we became attached to the dunya. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that, you know, if you engage in interest-based transactions and you become too attached to the dunya, then Allah will shower upon you a disgrace that no one will be able to lift except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to leave disgrace and come back onto honor. And it starts from the salam, right? Don't belittle any good. The salam that we do, at least we need to be sincere with one another. And as I said, that this salam is a means of the community coming together, Islamic organizations becoming better, masjid committees becoming better as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, spread the salam between yourselves. So this is the meaning of the salam, right? It's a dua as well as a greeting. And that's the summary of what you've said. That the salam is not just a greeting, it's a dua and a greeting. Now, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when obviously they accepted Islam, they would say in their salah, as-salamu ala Allahi min ibadihi. Right? They used to greet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his slaves. This is what they used to say. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inna Allaha huwa as-salam. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-salam. He is the owner of all peace. He is the owner of all perfection. He is the owner of all perfection. Because as-salam also refers to perfection. And Allah has this as a name from His names. As we find in the Quran. Right? Al-Malikul Quddus as-salam. As-salam. Right? So as-salam is from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it refers to perfection. And the one from who all perfection originates from, right? And the perfect one, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, don't recite to Allah the salam like this, for Allah is indeed the originator of all salam, of all peace and all perfection. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them to say, as-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. To say, as-salam, peace and salutations be upon us and upon the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what he taught them to say. So don't read to Allah your salam, but rather say, may peace and salutations be upon us and the pious servants of Allah. And this is what we recite in our salah. And this hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. It's authentic. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّكُمْ إِذَا قُلْتُمْ ذَلِكَ سَلَّمْتُمْ عَلَى كُلِّ عَبْدٍ صَالِحٍ فِي السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That indeed, if you say this, meaning, أَسَّلَامُ عَلَيْنَا وَعَلَى عِبَادِ اللَّهِ الصَّالِحِينَ, if you say this, then you have indeed done a salam and sent salutations upon every pious slave in the earth and in the skies and on earth, right? So you by doing this, you greet the malaika and those who were pious that passed away, as well as the pious on earth. Walillahi alhamd. So this is just a footnote to help us appreciate the salam even more. And the salam, obviously, as you've seen, is mashru', as the scholars say. It's from the sharia between the Muslims. Between the Muslims. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that no one will enter Jannah until they believe, and no one will believe until they love each other. And can I not show you something that will increase, something that if you do it, it will increase the love between you? And they said yes. He said, spread the salam between yourselves. And remember, the salam I'm talking about is the salam I described at the beginning of today's episode. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen. Mm-hmm. Now, Imam al-Nawawi, as per his norm, he would start a chapter with Quranic ayat. and then go into the hadith. This is a book of hadith, no doubt, but obviously the functions of the sharia originate from the Quran. So Imam Nawawi will bring some of the ayat to introduce the chapter, and then he moves on to the narrations. I mean, in the first ayah that Imam Nawawi cites for us, he recites for us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَدْخُلُوا بُيُوتًا غَيْرَ بُيُوتِكُمْ حَتَّى تَسْتَأْنِسُوا, which is the ayah in Surah Nur, ayah number 27, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O you who believe, enter not the houses other than your own until you have asked permission and greeted those in them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that there's two things you must do when you visit someone. Number one, seek permission to enter. Number two, when that permission is given, make salam to them. Right? Or seek permission and make salam. So, assalamu alaikum, so and so, can I enter? Right? Or you can seek to enter and then make the salam. Can I enter? It's me, assalamu alaikum. Right? This is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is highlighting this. Again, brothers and sisters, look how complete the sharia is. It's in the Quran. Allah is telling, giving us the etiquette, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when you enter the houses, greet one another with a greeting from Allah, which means say, assalamu alaikum. This greeting which is a blessed and good one, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in Surah Nur, ayah number 61, فَإِذَا دَخَلْتُمْ بُيُوتًا فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ تَحِيَّةً مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ مُبَارَكَةً طَيِّبَةً. Okay, so that's another ayah that the author lists for us. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُمْ بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا. This is in Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 86. And there's some fiqh in this particular ayah, some Islamic rulings. Firstly, Allah in terms of the meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you are greeted with a greeting, then ensure that your response to the greeting is better than the greeting received, or at least equal to it. Right? So we learn from this, number one, that to greet somebody is sunnah. That's the Islamic ruling. To greet somebody is sunnah, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us to spread the salam. However, we learn from this ayah that if you are greeted by somebody, then responding to that salam is compulsory. Responding to the salam is compulsory. To receive the greeting is sunnah. Responding to the greeting is compulsory. Now, this is very important, my dear brothers and sisters. Right? That's point number one. Point number two. If somebody greets you, your response has to at least be equal to the greeting received. Or better. Right? So it's compulsory to respond, and compulsory to respond in an equal way. What does this mean? This means if somebody says, assalamu alaikum, then it's compulsory for you to at least say, wa alaikum salam, right? If somebody says to you, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, then it's not enough for you to say, wa alaikum salam. You have to say, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. If somebody says, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and greets you in full, it's not enough for you to say, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Wa alaykum as-salam. You have to say wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Because Allah says, aw rudduha. Right? Make your greeting better or at least equal. Right? So this is a very important point to note. And the wisdom, or we learn a great hikmah and blessing from this. We just said earlier that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we help each other by doing what? By spreading the salam. We increase love by spreading the salam. We increase unity by spreading the salam, right? So this is amazing that Allah says, make sure your response is equal or better. Because if your response is any less, what do you think will happen? Will people feel love, or will they feel ignored? Or will they feel disrespected? And if they feel ignored and disrespected, will that increase love and unity? No, it won't. Today if somebody greets you and says, assalamu alaikum, and you don't respond, they feel offended, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took that decision out of our hands. He said, look, to greet is sunnah. But if someone greets you, then it's compulsory for you to respond. So Allah has lifted the decision. He set a precedent. It's compulsory for you to respond. Whether you like the person, whether you don't like the person, whether you have an issue or don't have an issue, whether you're feeling like it or don't, you're not feeling like it. Right? If the salam is given to you, now you have to respond. If you don't respond, you are sinful. If you are sinful, we know that sins entail punishment. May Allah protect us. Ameen. So, here in this ayah in Surah An-Nisa, great precedences are being set. Right? So firstly, we learn that being greeted is sunnah, and if we are greeted, then it's compulsory to respond, and it's compulsory for the response to be equal, at least, and even better for it to be better than the greeting received. And during the, you know, when we discussed the etiquettes of gifts and so on and so forth, we did say that, you know, we can inference from this particular ayah that if somebody gifts us, and you know, then we should at least try our best to make the gift equal to the gift received or more, if our financial ability obviously allows us. We're not saying this is a set rule, but we are saying for us to be complete, then no doubt this would be better, because obviously, you know, if a person especially is expecting a gift, then giving them something equal to what they gave you or better grows love and grows unity. But as you can see also, my dear brothers and sisters, that for us to become a beloved community and a united community, we don't need to spend money. It's not about spending money. Offer the salam sincerely. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Afshu salam," spread the salam. That's what it is. You know, you don't have to be buying expensive gifts and keeping things material. No, offer people your heart. You can't quantify that. You can't put a price on it. If you offer the salam sincerely, you have offered somebody your heart. What better, more expensive, more precious gift can you give somebody? And thus, sadaqa, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, he was honest when he said that this will increase the love between you all and thus increase the unity. So this is what we learn, my dear brothers and sisters, from the ayat that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah stated. Now, in the first hadith that we heard, just as a point, a technical point, especially for those who are learning Arabic, you know, in the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the guests of Ibrahim alayhi salam. That's the last ayah in Surah Al-Dhariyat. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ ضَيْفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, has the story reached you of the honored guests of Ibrahim alayhi salam? And these guests refer to three angels, right? Jibreel alayhi salam and two other angels. When they came to Ibrahim and they said, salam. So Allah says, salama. Right? Allah says, salaman. Right? So, when they greeted Ibrahim, qalu salaman. Right? And when Ibrahim responded, he said, salamun. So, he responded back to them. You know, for those who are studying at the Arabic language, you will appreciate that, you know, based on the sentence structure, the greeting of Ibrahim was better than the greeting of the angels. So, the angels greeted, but Ibrahim made his greeting even better. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَقَالُوا سَلَامًا. يعني, in terms of breaking this ayah or explaining this ayah, basically from a linguistic perspective, قَالُوا سَلَامًا يعني سَلَّمُوا سَلَامًا. This سَلَامًا is a type of masdar, but it reflects what we know in the Arabic language as maf'ul mutlaq, right? Maf'ul mutlaq, which makes this particular sentence a verb sentence, right? A verb sentence. And in terms of the reply of Ibrahim, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقَالُوا سَلَامًا, but Ibrahim said, قَالَ سَلَامٌ, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the salam as Ibrahim alayhi salam as marfu' bid dhamma, salamun. Just don't get confused if you don't know the Arabic technicalities. This is for those who do. Qala salamun. He made it marfu' bid dhamma. And we know that if a rafa' or if something is marfu' and has a dhamma on it, then this by default, there are exceptions, but by default entails al-jumla al-ismiyah. So this entails a noun sentence. right? A noun sentence. So the structure of the salam of the angels, Allah describes it to us as a verb sentence. And the structure of the salam of, or the response of Ibrahim, Allah describes it to us as a noun sentence. And in the Arabic language, noun sentences are considered more established than verb sentences. Right? Right? This is a reality. This is by law of the language. They're considered more established because this, what the scholars say, al-ism yadullu ala thubut wa dawam, that a noun constitutes establishment and continuity. Right? Whilst a verb sentence doesn't constitute that. Why? Because it's changing. It's a verb. We're moving from place to place in meaning. These are all intellectual understandings, ala kulli hal. But what I just want to make clear to you all is, subhanAllah, how beautiful is the Quran. That the Quran, even in this description of the angels meeting Ibrahim and greeting, Allah describes, even though the words look the same, just changing a fatha to a dhamma, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us that the response of Ibrahim was better. Why? Because his response was noun-based, which means it's more established and continuous, which makes it better than a verb-based type of salah. Ala kulli hal. For those who can digest that, alhamdulillah, and I ask Allah to forgive me for my weaknesses in this explanation. But it's just a point I wanted to share because I was thoroughly amazed, subhanallah, by this nuance. Because if you're reading the Quran, and for those who've learned Arabic, you think to yourself, why did they say qalu salaman? And he said qala salamun, right? Because by default, salam, if it's a verb, it should be mansoob. It should have a fatha on it. So this is definitely a point for us to ponder over. And this is the explanation that has been shared with us by some of the scholars of tafsir. Walillahi alhamd. So this is a discussion covering the ayat. Now we come on to the first hadith that was shared. And the first hadith that was shared teaches us, my dear brothers and sisters, that this salam that we have comes all the way from our father Ibrahim, Adam alayhi salam. Right? I said Ibrahim, that was a slip of the tongue. He's the father of the prophets, but the father of all of mankind is Adam alayhi salam. Because the hadith says when Allah created Adam, he told Adam, go and greet that group of angels sitting there. So he went and he said, assalamu alaykum. And then they responded and said, wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. So they added wa rahmatullah. And as for wa barakatuh, inshallah we'll come to that discussion in the course of our episodes together, because this is from the Quran. Right? But this just teaches us in essence that this salam is from the time of our father Adam alayhi salam. And it also teaches us that when someone greets us, we should try and make our response better, because the angels bettered the greeting of Adam alayhi salam. He said assalamu alaykum, they said wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. They added wa rahmatullah. Right? Just before we end, my dear brothers and sisters, subhanAllah, time always flies, and you know, we can never get bored studying the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one can never get bored speaking to you all. But nonetheless, time's come to an end. But very quickly, if you say assalamu alaykum to somebody, then the sunnah teaches us that Allah rewards you with 10 rewards. If you say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, Allah rewards you with 20 rewards. If you say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Allah will give you 30 rewards. Imagine, you greet people and your jannah is becoming better and more beautiful. Come on. I mean, what does it cost us to greet someone properly? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. I love you all for the sake of Allah. Brothers and sisters, if you have comments, you can write to me via my website, sajidumar.com. And inshallah, I'll see you next week and we can continue these lessons, inshallah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sheikh Sajid, once again, Allah Rabbul Izzah reward you, inshallah, and we'll catch up with you next week, Friday.